Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Humanitarian Horizons, Christina D'Arcangelo Unveiled. I am so happy to have one of my friends and colleagues on with me today, Shabam. Thank you so much for joining me today, and thank you for coming back on one of my podcasts.
Of course, Christina. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to chat with you because, you know, the stuff that we talk about is like always interesting for me. So I cannot wait to start.
Me too. And for our listeners and viewers, just as a reminder, we are talking to Shabam in Germany. Okay. So she's across the world. Today we're going to have an eclipse. How exciting is that? And we're going to talk about women's health because that is a very, very important topic that both she and I have experience in because we're both women and we've been living a while now. And we know what we have dealt with in our health lives. Well, we share a lot of passion, but one in particular is progressing and moving forward women's health. And so that is what we're going to talk about today. And I'm so excited to have you on because I've been seeing all of your educational material, which I think is pretty solid. It's awesome. I think it's very helpful, especially like when you're out in nature and you're telling people about certain types of herbs. This isn't just cannabinoids, folks. We're talking about holistic wellness, which part of it obviously is cannabinoids. So do you want to kick it off for us today?
Thank you so much for bringing up this. I don't want to say neglected because I feel bad when I use the word neglected, but it is a neglected area when we look at the research and development around women health. You know, I mean, April is already the awareness month for PMDD, which is a like severe form of PMS. And when you think that, yeah, okay, how many women even know what PMDD is? Just for a short explanation, PMDD is basically a severe form of PMS, is now being listed under the mental health issue conditions. It's kind of a PMS, but much harder on psychological symptoms like depression, anxiety, mood swings, and so often suicidal thoughts. I wonder that how many women even know that PMDD exists and how many psychologists out there, how many practitioners know that PMDD exists. If a woman has depression or PTSD or you name it, the whole menstrual cycle, all of these hormonal up and downs directly affect the symptom and how the treatment might work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all of those stuff, when you read about it, when you see that what a major impact this knowledge has on our life and we don't talk about it or we don't consider it to be important, my blood starts to boiling.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I just going through my life and seeing things happen to my body, you know, post when I had a kid, you know, Krish, when I had my son, my entire body changed completely. And, you know, you're told certain things when you're pregnant, but they don't tell you a lot of things. And there's not a lot of stuff out there that you can read to get yourself educated. When I had Christian, I did not bring him home from the hospital because we had complications with his birth. He had meconium and he had to go to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia right after he was born. After I had him, he wasn't breathing. And so I left the hospital without him. I was not prepared for this. The baby was healthy the whole pregnancy. And then I leave without him. And so I suffered from postpartum and I was going into the OB to get checked out. Once you have a child, you know, they have to come back. Plus there's all these other issues that you have as far as hormonal issues. Your body is different. All these things no one talks about. And so I ended up finally, I had Christian in February and it was late August when I finally got diagnosed with postpartum. And it was because of my father knew something was wrong. He knew I wasn't firing on all cylinders. I was sad a lot. I had a lot in my mind. You know, I just had a newborn and, you know, trying to care for him and stuff. And no one talks about it, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about postpartum. And we talk about it, but not everybody does. And then fast forward, last year, I started symptomatic with perimenopausal. And I remember exactly, it was my birthday. And I was in Miami. And I was like, I feel really hot. And with my like thyroid condition now, as you know, I have Hashimoto's, I'm always cold. I'm never hot. It could be 150 degrees outside. And I'm like a lizard. I'm like, oh, it's, you know, I feel a little temperature, but I'm not sweating like I used to. before the Hashimoto. And so I didn't know really what was happening. So, you know, being a researcher, I start listing out all of my symptoms and researching. And I'm like, oh, I think I'm perimenopausal. So here we are with that. And again, are there resources out there? Is anyone doing any clinical research on this stuff? Because other than the stars now, who've kind of come into this mess, now they're talking about it. You know who I'm talking about. You see it out there in Hollywood. They're all talking about it and they're getting traction. They're selling their products that have not been clinically tested, saying that it's going to work. How do they know?
Yeah. The good thing is that we are talking about it more, but there is a lot need to be done. First of all, like I think most of us start to search for the menopause symptoms and what to do about it when they hit us already.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like get the educations 10 years before, 15
right.
years before, to prepare ourselves, to don't be caught up in the middle to know what to do about it. You know, I'm super afraid. I know that like my premenopausal years are near and everything that I read about menopause is, to be honest, so dark and so frightening that I'm
yes.
already like frightened, but it shouldn't be like that. It is not like that.
It makes your self-image, like you feel inflamed all the time. I was talking to one of my best friends about it because I think she also is in the same boat as me. She's a little bit younger than me, but that doesn't matter. It's all genetic, right? It depends on your body. My mom went through menopause when she was 30.
Yeah.
She was, as you know, she suffered from bipolar disease and a lot of mental health issues. So her going into menopause is not a surprise, right? Because of everything else that she was predisposed to. So I can't ask her. She's passed away, right? I can't say, hey, mom, I want to talk to you about how I'm feeling, right? So I have one of my best friends and we were just talking about this on Saturday about how inflamed our bodies are, swelling, weight gain, fatigue, anxiety, mood swings, aggravation. That's part of mood swings, you know, like all these things. And then you have to change your diet, right? Because there's certain things now you should have more salmon and, you know, things like that. Like, it's just so crazy, but there is no playbook for us. There's no
yeah.
financial fund for us to go to, you know, get money for clinical studies. You had to raise money through investors on your own back. I'm raising money with, you know, investors on my back. And it's very upsetting.
It is like that. And you know what is even more upsetting? I mean, you said that the story about your mom. And for example, when I asked my mom, okay, do you remember what was your symptoms when you went through your premenopause and menopause? And she told me, oh, I had a lot to do. I mean, I had two kids and I had to work. I cannot even remember when does it come and when did it go? So like shocked that really seriously, are we so unkind to our body? Don't even thinking and considering the changes. So, you know, Christina, I think we as women, we collectively should start to like raise awareness, should collectively start to respect our body the changes in our body more. Now, when we talk about like menopause in workplace, do you know how many premenopausal women at the moment are employees? And, you know, they got hot flashes, they got mood swings. My best friend mom, she worked in a school in the time of her premenopause. And she told me, Shabna, I always had to take with me three same shirts so I could change it without the students notice.
You're sweating.
Oh my God, that's something so normal. Instead of that, we have the, even don't want to say courage, that we have to be so comfortable to talk about it. Of course, I'm going through a phase of my life. These are the symptoms. I have like sudden hot flashes and sweats. We want to hide everything. It's like it's a bad thing or a sign of weakness.
It is madness. And, you know, since we're both in the cannabinoid space also, we wouldn't be doing justice talking about that either. The fact that, you know, specifically in the United States, we have a lot of triple stacks where we have grower processors and dispensaries. They're big conglomerate organizations. And so they've worked hard to get their licenses and such and set up and get their regulatory approvals and everything. I'm not knocking that part. But what I'm surprised by, and what we talked about before we came on here, was the fact that, you know, I'm a medical card holder. I have a card in Pennsylvania. Our state is not a recreational state. It's just medicinal. But around me, I have a lot of recreational states. So for example, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, they're all recreational states and they sit around us, right? Even Detroit, Michigan, and I think Ohio now too. So I have the ability, I'm blessed to be able to go into these states and check out the dispensaries because I like to learn and see what kind of products they have and stuff like that. And let me tell you something, I have never in all of the dispensaries, including my home state, Pennsylvania, have I seen a product for women's health. Not one, not one. There's all these products for these claims for pain and this and that and autism and all these different other things that they talk about, but not one product in there is for women's health. And I'm like, I don't understand because there's women in the space. There's lots of women in the space. You know, I don't understand why they don't think it's important enough. Is it because the people they work with aren't listening to them when they bring it up and they decide, nah, we'll just deal with this instead, when this needs to be resolved? I'm embarrassed this is happening.
And I think it's pretty much everywhere. I mean, now you know that from beginning of April, we partially decriminalized cannabis consumption in Germany. At the moment, when you look at the medical market and all of the chemovars which are available for use for patients, you barely find the balanced chemovar or chemovars with lower THC, which is much beneficial for women's body and women's health. You don't see that because, again, I don't know, it's because the industry is dominated by men. I have no clear answer for that because we are shouting, we are talking about it, that we need product designed and tailored for female health. So something is going on, but it's very slow, very slow. So I hope in the future we see more research and development. For God's sake, I was like researching on that. There are lots of surveys and lots of anecdotes that cannabis can help women through premenopausal transition phase, mm-hmm. with many of the conditions, from like sexual desires, insomnia,
anxiety,
quality of life, anxiety, what
hot flashes. Yep.
Is there one company who is doing like one specific formulation for premenopause for women? No.
No, except for us. You're working on stuff. I'm working on stuff. And, you know, but our stuff, guys, is very early, right? We still have to do research. We're not going to talk a talk and talk out of both sides of our mouth. We know we have to do clinicals, right? And so we can't really say, oh, well, our stuff's going to work until we do the studies. But again, it goes back to the whole funding problem, right? I mean, it's expensive to do clinical studies. It's very, very expensive because you have to make sure it's safe and efficacious. You have to collect data in a certain manner. It cannot be anecdotal, as you know. So there we are, we're in this space. And then, you know, in the United States, we have the issue with, and I'm not trying to turn this into a political discussion about abortion, not at all. But what I want to bring up is the fact that there's a pharmaceutical product that was developed years ago, and it's called mifepristone, and it's for abortions. And people sometimes need or are required to get abortions for the safety of the woman and the baby, right? Where they have to get an abortion. And there's a lot of talk going on right now in the justice system as to whether or not we can still take mifepristone. Meanwhile, that pharmaceutical company spent millions, right? We were just talking about how expensive it is to run clinical studies and get approvals. So they do all the right things. They get the approvals. FDA says, yep, this is cleared. Go ahead. And now all of a sudden, because politicians have decided we're going to overturn a ruling about abortion from years and years ago, now something that has been developed properly is at jeopardy from being able to be utilized for women. Once again, we have no choice. And the people that are making the choices for us aren't even women.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, of course, we came too far in with regard to women's rights, and we are in a nice, like, good trajectory, but we shouldn't take that for granted because everything can be taken from us just in a snap of a finger. I cannot believe that this is happening in the US. And like, how on earth someone else than me can decide what I want to do with my body?
Exactly. Let's just go back to the whole fact that there isn't any progression in women's health going on right now, except for some people who are out there talking about it, right? And we encourage that people talk about it and not be embarrassed. Women are afraid to talk about it. They're afraid to talk about how they're feeling because, as you mentioned earlier, it can be construed as a sign of weakness, right?
Yeah, exactly. She's menopausal. She's
emotional.
Are you on your period? Like, all of you? Yes, I am on my period. My hormonal balance is not in a nice, how do you call it, ratio. And I am tired. I am more, how do you call it, moody or aggressive or whatever you want to label label it, deal with it. That's how my body, that's how my nature work.
Right. Well, we could talk about this for a very long time. We're going to have another shoot once we start progressing some of the things we're working on so that we can give people updates. And, you know, I think from our podcast, I think it's important to ask questions if you don't know things and be proud of the fact you're a woman and you're going through certain changes hormonally. It's just the way it is, you know, in life with your genetic makeup, and you shouldn't feel diminished at the end of the day.
I cannot add anything more. You just, how do you call it? Summarize everything beautifully.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for taking time out of your day. I know you've had some things going on over there that you are handling. And so I really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today about this very important topic.
It's always a pleasure. And thank you. Thank you for asking me.
It was my pleasure. So to all of our viewers and listeners, thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you for tuning in to our shows when we release them. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful day.